apologies to everyone that I didn't start the recording sooner. I was sufficiently distracted with this new little feature that's come on board for our line that didn't really... Okay, now there it goes. I figured out how to hide it. That I was not paying proper attention to the things we need to really be focusing on, which is Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, our blessings, our own personal needs, our faith, our desires, and our community. And I see that Sweet Mary is on the line. Hi, Mary. I opened your line.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to share the amazing privilege of being a blessing giver. And I wanted to encourage anybody who might be considering coming to Texas. Oh my gosh, I would go to each and every blessing seminar if I could. And I just wanted to share one of the, along with the beauty of the blessing is the beauty of this community. And whenever something happens, for instance, I am so in awe of our amazing Pope. Sometimes we in the community of blessing givers join together to offer blessings for different things that are happening in our world. So I just want to express my gratitude and encouragement if anyone's thinking about it. I know the past two times I came, I didn't think I would have a way, but I wanted it with my whole heart, and the way opened up. So I just thank you every day for this blessing and this community.
Oh, Mary, thank you so much, and just thank you for being you. You are such an amazing, amazing person and so filled with the Spirit of Christ. And just to build on what Mary was saying, our blessing givers have their own special community, and they do connect daily in many cases or weekly with a larger group. And whenever something positive is happening in the world, such as Pope Francis being in Philadelphia and releasing his papal blessings to the world, we join. If there's a catastrophe, we focus our blessings upon those who need courage, hope, help, and the strength to rise above that catastrophe. If there's a fire, we send our blessings to the firefighters. Whatever is going on, whether something special and sublime or something critical that needs the assistance of those who serve Christ, we bring that energy in a very powerful, focused funnel of grace, moving into that situation. And I am so grateful for this community. We are about 300 strong right now, and at the end of this coming blessing conference on October 10th and 11th, we will pass our 300 mark. And Yeshua has told me that some window, some greater doorway will open for us when we pass the 500 mark. I don't know what he has in mind. I don't know how he's gauging the strength on that. But I look forward to being in that configuration when it happens, because it will be miraculous. And I invite you with all my heart to come. It does not require a lot of spiritual preparation. You don't have to be already a minister or an associate minister or someone who works in social services or is even in a prayer group, because this work does not require you to have a public presence. What it requires of you is to have a dedicated heart to bringing the love, the life, the joy, and the miracles of Christ more abundantly to this earth, that we may move humanity up to a higher and higher level. Let's look at it this way. Let's just look at the worst situation of horrors. Let's just imagine for a moment, but we won't dwell on it long, the place of battle and war. Many of us had parents who were in World War II or the Korean War, and they tell stories about how horrible it was at Ground Zero with someone shooting at you all the time. The poor people having to worry about landmines and possible arrest or hunger or imprisonment or just being randomly shot. Children being run over, captured, tortured. It's horrible at the level of war. But a little bit above the level of war, we move into restoration, where yes, the horror is still there, but it's a different energy. And then a little bit above the level of restoration, we have a level of production, regeneration, and hope. And then just a little bit above that level, well, finally we arrive at the level where we can actually generate the energy of world peace and optimism and forgiveness and moving forward. All of these, my friends, are levels of reality, probability, that can exist in layers in our world. They can move from the horrible to the sublime. We have to be conscious of those that are horrible because our assistance is being required. But we don't have to live there. And we don't have to put our heart into the belief that those levels are permanent and that that's what life is all about. As we lift our life up to a higher level, we literally move the playing field of planet Earth up to a higher level on which more answers are provided, more help is provided, more healing is available, more love prevails upon the Earth. And this is what blessing givers do. This is what you will do as a blessing giver. You will, in your own private life, offer blessings that will lift the day for everyone near you, change the field of reality around you, and move us a little bit closer toward that higher place of reality where we all can be a more loving community, supportive, with beneficial answers for all, and abundance to go around. And so, with that heartfelt request, there is still time. Our deadline is actually, well, let's see, the seminar starts on the 10th of October, and I have to let the hotel know 5 days before how many to plan for with regard to the banquet meals. So we're getting very, very close to the deadline. And especially those of you who are in driving range, think about a nice fall vacation on the beach. We're actually on the beach. I don't mean near the beach. The hotel, the rooms face the Gulf. From the back door and the back patio, you walk out into the sand and into the surf. You are on the beach. And we will offer our final blessing into the Gulf waters because there's something about the great waters of the earth that carry the greater matrix of hope and love and life and light to the whole planet. And so with that thought, please do come if you can. Your presence will make a difference. And all you have to do if you have not saved one of our promotions or even received one, just go to our website, inspiredorigination.com. Click on webinars and live seminars, and then you'll see it. You'll see it as one of the offerings. If you can't remember that, perhaps you will remember Love Without End, our flagship book, the book that started it all. We have a website, lovewithoutend.com. You go to that website, click on all products and services, and that will take you to inspiredorigination.com. Just follow those links to seminars. You'll find it. If you're motivated, you will find it. Or just call us. I know you have some kind of notice from us, or you probably wouldn't be here. You can find our telephone there. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to help you. And we'd love to have your help in making this a better world. And I noticed that we do have another caller. I'd love to take your call. And you are on from area code 719.
Hello, Glenda. It's Sharon Borton, a blessing keeper from Denver.
Hi, Sharon.
Hello. I just want to acknowledge what a gift it is to be a blessing keeper. And I partner with Sarah on the East Coast every Tuesday night. And I have a special request today for the larger community and for today's blessing. My daughter has been really suffering with Lyme disease for the last year or more, and she's run into a particular challenge with trying to introduce drugs that are to be helpful for the next priority in her healing. And I'm just asking that we focus the blessing for whomever can do so today and for the future, for her ability to allow for the hope and wholeness that is necessary for her healing at this time.
And we certainly will. And what's her name?
Tiffany.
Tiffany. All right. Tiffany, we hold you in our heart with great love that the very most optimum and perfect remedy come for you, that your healing may be accelerated and your wholeness restored. And I'll take another caller we have from area code 949, and you're on.
Hello, Glenda?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Kathy calling from Houston.
Hi, Kathy. I thought that was you. How in the world are you? Kathy is also a blessing giver.
Yes, and I'm so glad. I'll have to add to what others have said. It's just a wonderful experience. My life has just completely changed for just so many wonderful ways since getting the becoming a blessing giver.
Indeed.
But the reason for my call is that I wanted to, it's a prayer request. I wrote on the Facebook webpage about 4 years ago about my concerns for my very dear friend, Robbie, who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And she has made her transition. And my prayer request is mostly for her family members, but she had a daughter who she adopted from China. And this girl is only 17 years old, and her mother was, you know, that was her family.
Mm-hmm.
And this was for Bailey, that's her name, Bailey, because she had been moved around from, you know, the birth parents to different foster arrangements before her adoption as an infant. She was 17 months old. Robbie was her fifth parent. And so I feel that this is particularly difficult for Bailey, and I'm asking for everybody to please keep her in your prayers.
Oh, thank you so much, and we certainly will. We certainly will keep her in our prayers, that she knows she always belongs in the heart of God, and she'll never be disconnected from those who love her.
All right, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And, Scott, I see you're on the call.
Hey, I just wanted to say ditto for what Mary and others said about thanks for that I get to be a blessing giver. And also, I got to work at a speech contest today, and I gave a speech entitled Reality, What a Concept, in which I incorporated the teachings from Love Without End about using practical understanding and application and workability to make our individual truth, a greater truth. So I had a wonderful time doing that. And this will be the second convention I get to come to. So
yes, I'm so excited that you're coming, Scott. Congratulations on that. We look forward to seeing you again, and we look forward to seeing all blessing givers who can attend one more time, or many more times for that matter. Thank you so much for all of your support, all of you. And I'm going to just gracefully move on into the rest of our presentation today. We don't have a lot of time left, but this is an important thought that won't take a lot of time to say. So many times we get caught up in the challenges of life, and we confuse our struggle with what is a true challenge. We think that because we're struggling, that, well, this is just my challenge in life. It may not be your challenge. It may be just something you're fighting, something you're struggling with, something that's resisting you because you've resisted it, something you're confused about. And it's so important for all of us that we have a challenge, because challenges bring out the best in us. Challenges focus our life. Challenges give us our next experience, our growth, our learning, our realization, and our fulfillment. But the higher component that makes a challenge beneficial and therapeutic and essential is that our soul is participating in a challenge. It's not just our struggling human existence. Most especially, it's not any of our ego defenses. Most struggles we have in life come because we have not asked for a higher perspective on the very thing that's causing us some setback or difficulty or sadness or pain. And this can happen to anyone. We could be literally broken down on the road with a flat tire, and we don't know how to change a tire. We don't have a AAA membership, and we don't know what to do next. Well, the best thing to do next is to raise the hood of the car, sit down in the car, and wait for help. What you've done in doing that, what you've done is you have provided a signal to others that you are a driver in distress. You've called for help. And the very act of calling for help not only signals to your fellow human travelers, it signals to your own higher resources. It signals to your spiritual guidance. It signals to the highest and the best that could be brought to the situation. And perhaps in that little moment of vulnerability, you have an opportunity to recollect yourself and think about, well, what could I do to just get prepared for someone to come and help me? And you're thinking, well, all I need is for someone to stop by and maybe make a call on my behalf. I get out a map. I start to look at where I am. I get out my tools. I start to look for that. In other words, you get resourceful, but you don't panic. You begin treating it more like a challenge. Instead of feeling completely wilted by a struggle you can't handle. There's that moment when a struggle turns into a challenge. And that very moment is when you ask for help and you bring in your own higher resources, your own higher guidance, your own inspiration. There's so many times when we don't do that. We just allow a struggle to be a struggle. An example, another example that's so common to all of us. We could be lost driving around, not knowing where we are. We don't have a GPS system, and we don't want to stop and ask for directions. Just think about a time when you've been that way. You keep saying, well, all right, I know if I just take the next right turn, I'll figure it out. You make the next right turn, and you're more lost. Well, okay, I'll just back up and go to where I started to be lost. And you still don't stop and ask for help. You know, inside all of us is actually an interesting little GPS system. We all have an inner guidance system that we can call upon when we need it. And calling upon that little inner guidance system can be valuable. But what we have to do in order to invoke it is we have to just stop for a moment, pause what we're doing, just let go of the possibility of panic, let go of the idea that we have the answer. Obviously, we would not have gotten lost if we completely had the answer. So we just stop for a moment. Perhaps we pray. Perhaps we just center ourselves. And then we look for that inner guidance or the higher guidance. That might, and more likely, will lead us back to the last place where we saw some human resource that we could have called upon for better guidance, better information. How often do we not ask for help when we need it? How often do we not ask for help from God or the Holy Spirit or even our own higher self? This is one of the things we need to learn in life, and that is that when we struggle, we are perpetuating the state of struggle. When we turn struggle into a challenge, we activate the hero, the inner hero, and we call forth our guides and our assistants and those who are here to lift us to a higher level. There's something about a challenge that puts us in front of a mountain that we're going to climb. There's something about a struggle that puts us in front of a ditch we're afraid to fall into. There's the difference. And any one of you at any time can make that critical, focused decision. Am I in front of a ditch or am I in front of a mountain? There's something about the human spirit that is redeemed by the mountain. King David said in the book of Psalms, I will lift my eyes to the hills. From where comes my strength? My strength is in the Lord. And indeed, but you notice he also included in that statement, my strength is in the Lord. In other words, when we look upward, we find our strength. When we look upward, not only do we find our own strength, we have strength to offer others. Let me give you a little secret, is that no one really wants to struggle with you. and everybody wants to help you up the mountain. It's such a miracle in life to make that simple, singular discovery. In the book of Job, we find that even God wouldn't struggle with Job. But the minute Job turned his struggle into a challenge of rediscovery, God was there calling him on and on and on until Job reconnected. And I wonder why that is. Well, actually, I don't wonder too much. There's a very glorious, sublime, awesome matrix of energy for which our whole universe was created. Scientists who look through the Hubble telescope at the giant galaxies and quasars and galaxies beyond galaxies are amazed at the interworking web, the similarity of patterns, and the energy that connects one to the other to the other. Scientists who look into the super colliders at the tiniest particle physics are amazed at the matrix of energy connections among the tiniest and most basic of particles. Yes, there is an energetic matrix of everything in creation, from the tiniest to the largest. In the field of life, microbiologists have identified the matrix patterns of life. And yes, they are in a matrix. Wherever we see energy moving into creation, there is this matrix. And one of the things that has been said about the human matrix is we are never more than 6 points removed from anyone we would ever want to know or ever need to know. And that's pretty much substantiated in the scientific world, even in particle physics, even in the matrix of energy connections. But where that breaks down, is in the field of chaos. Whenever anything moves into chaos, our connections are destroyed. As a matter of fact, scientists look at the soup of dark energy, and they wonder, how in the world did this ever turn into a creative field? There are no connections here. A few very, very advanced thinking scientists have hypotheses about how it all began. And of course, we're told in the book of Genesis, it all began when the Lord said, let there be light. Light travels in a straight line. And so naturally, that's going to establish connections. In any situation, one of the things we can always count on, if we look for the light, we will be carried in a straight line, and we will find at least one, two, three, or four connections. If you remain in chaos, you can't find your way. And not only that, no one wants to join you in chaos. They want to pull you out of chaos. They want to lend you a hand. If you're drowning, they want to throw you a lifeline. They want to extend your hand. They don't want to join you in drowning. It's up to you to make that decision. It's up to you to turn a struggle into a challenge. And you do that by making the first basic connection inside yourself to the higher part of yourself that looks upward, that looks into the matrix of connections and possibilities, that looks for a log in the stream, anything to grab onto, a light in the night, anything that can move you out of the chaos you're in. This is true whether it's a health issue, a financial issue, relationship issue, a career issue, whatever it may be. Look for the light. Seek help. Accept help when it's been given to you. And as it's being given to you, learn to receive and be grateful for whatever you receive. It doesn't matter how meager it is. One connection is one step beyond chaos. One morsel of bread is one step beyond starvation. One idea is the first step toward great revelation. Be appreciative. Take it. Cultivate it. Now you're about to be offered a great blessing from Christ, through the Holy Spirit, from Almighty God. It will come through our blessing givers who generously give of their life, their heart, their soul, their being to be here for you. But it's not coming from them. Their assistants, their midwives, you might say, in seeing that these connections come through for you. Take them, receive them. When the blessing is over, go and relax, rest, receive whatever you can, whatever has been given. Allow it to become a light in your life, an offering to your life, a morsel to nourish your life. Don't think, don't try to figure it out, just simply receive and be nourished. As if you were being given the bread of life, the wine of Holy Spirit. In many ways, this is communion, just expressed, offered, and conveyed in a different way. So now let us begin. If you will be seated, your feet on the ground, your head pointed to heaven, as much as possible. I realize that some of you are bedridden, and that's not possible. Some of you need to have your shoes on. If possible, let it be your socks instead of your shoes. The least you interfere in the conveyance of energy between heaven and earth, the better. Open yourself to all of the strength, the love, and the power of God. I will say an invocation of appreciation to Yeshua. Then we will begin to convey the Holy Spirit for your benefit. Receive and say your prayers, whatever your prayers may be. Pray for that which you most desire, that which you most need, that which you most want, or hold dearest to your heart. Just simply receive, then rest for 7 minutes after. It's okay if you fall asleep, but when you awaken, let it be done and move on with your life. As you notice benefits in your life, in the next hours, days, or weeks, just say thank you and hold a smile in your heart. Dear Yeshua, we are so grateful for your love, your blessing that never ends, but your special blessing today, where you show up in a beautiful and focused way to offer us the bread of life, the spirit of grace, the gift of healing, the gift of expansion and abundance, that we may nourish and expand our life in the best, holiest, most appropriate and creative ways for the fulfillment of our own life, service to those we love, and benevolence to all mankind. We thank you for our creation and that we may be here as our own light in the world to expand the light of God and to turn this world into a more lighted, benevolent place for all to live. Amen. Blessing givers, let us be joined and begin. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest. Receive and be nourished by it. Have a wonderful fulfillment for your blessing. A wonderful day. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.